When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Thank you for being here on a Friday afternoon. Everyone's still talking about what happened yesterday down in Destin. A couple of guests in the first hour about that, and we're not done yet. Complete change in terms of getting rid of the divisions. That had been expected. What had not been expected was eight games. Many people believed it would be nine conference games. Barrett Slee joining us. Always great to catch up with Barrett. Barrett, thank you. Good afternoon. And give us your first impressions of what we all learned yesterday afternoon about the SEC scheduling.
Hey, Paul. Hope you enjoyed your work vacation down in Destin. Yeah, I mean, I thought they'd end up on nine, obviously. Tuesday, it did seem like there was a little momentum for that, and it sort of waned, but I thought they'd end up on nine. And, I think with, you're right, the division thing, I think everybody knew they were getting away with that, doing away with that. But, you know, kicking the can down the road for another year, it just seems like a big-time failure on a lot of people's parts for – just, you know, this has been a conversation really since Texas and Oklahoma accepted the invitation. Why can't we figure it out? You know, it's not like this is rocket science. I understand that different people have different perspectives, but this is not something that should have dragged on as long as it did. But to that end, and Greg Sankey seemed to allude to this, you know, I think everybody seems to want to have nine games. I think the schools that were, you know, voting for eight are doing so for leverage purposes, right? It seems like it's inevitable. That's why they kicked it down the road for another year. And if we go to the 3-6 format, then the real issue is how do you pick the three, especially when you don't necessarily have three rivals. And I think ultimately that's been the sticking point. And that's why Nick Saban had sort of, you know, gone back on his push for nine conference games that he's had for a decade. It's all about politics. It's all about posturing. I think ultimately they'll get to nine. I think it'll be the 3-6 format. I just think that there are a lot of moving parts at play from a scheduling standpoint, from a permanent rival standpoint, and obviously from a television and financial standpoint as well.
Yeah, Barry, and it's very rare when the SEC receives criticism because of the obvious, the things that we talk about all the time and its dominance. But how do you think that, or do you think this criticism will matter to the people that run the league, knowing that they usually get the last laugh?
No, it doesn't matter. The criticism doesn't matter at all because there's no way it really manifests itself into something tangible, because if there's a criticism, it's, oh, the SEC is only going to play eight conference games. That's going to hurt them. No, it's not. You know, whether the SEC plays eight or nine games, it's probably going to get three or four teams in the new college football playoff every single year. So the perception around the country, it can be whatever it is. I don't think Greg Sankey cares. I don't think the presidents or ADs care. I don't really think the coaches care all that much either, because they know that they're getting into the college football playoff. But I think they want to do it the way, you know, in differing ways, and that's fine. But criticism from around the country, criticism from national folks, criticism from folks that cover different conferences, no, it doesn't matter to the SEC at all. Because you mentioned last laugh. Yeah, they probably will get the last laugh, because I think what people will find out in a couple years is that, in reality, eight or nine games, the SEC's perception is the SEC's reality. And that's not going to change no matter how many conference games they play.
Talking to Barrett Slee. Barrett, let's move to another subject, and that's NIL. And you know, most of the conversations down there were the same. But the SEC seems determined to push its weight around here as well. Saban and company going to Washington, D.C. I'm not laughing. Well, maybe I am laughing because other than a lot of selfies and pictures and kids showing up at their dad or granddad or grandmother's office, what are we going to get out of this show next week?
A bunch of knocking on doors and trying to figure out who's actually working in Washington, which is probably going to be a little bit more challenging than maybe they anticipated. But if I recall, I do believe that happened last year, too. Maybe it was the year before. You know, I think as this has gone on, as states have enacted and then maybe tweaked their NIL laws, you know, it's become more confusing. The fact that collective suddenly, you know, popped up, what, a year ago or so? I don't necessarily think that was anticipated. So the way this has gone about, you know, being implemented has changed even since last year. So I think Saban wants everybody to be unionized. And look, I get that. I think one thing that is sort of a model is when the video game comes back, everybody's going to get basically an equal slice of the pie. That's new. So I think it's more about facts, more about introducing people to how this actually works, who don't necessarily follow it on a day-to-day basis. You know, there are, you know, a few politicians who have worked really hard on this. I think Anthony Gonzalez, former Ohio State receiver, I think Marsha Blackburn did too. So, you know, those people understand it. Not a lot of other people in Washington do. And so whether it's unified federal legislation or state by state or just putting up some sort of guardrails and educating these decision makers, I think that part is important. Counting on them to actually be the be all and end all of how this whole NIL system works, I think that's just pie in the sky thinking.
And I mean, I'm sure some of these coaches are saying this is a critical. I mean, that's all I heard last week, how important June was, and now they're going to be spending 2 days in Washington schmoozing. I doubt they're thrilled, if I could offer an opinion before you tackle that part of it.
Well, yeah, I don't think they're thrilled at all. I don't think people want to spend, you know, several days in Washington trying to lobby politicians. But, I mean, you know, you get nice dinners. That's what lobbyists are for, right? So maybe it isn't all a bad thing. But, you know, I mean, I think there's been, I wouldn't say harm. It's just been the lack of any sort of direction, you know, from anybody has been, I think, frustrating. And so going to Washington, yeah, that'll help. It's not like, oh, maybe it won't help, but it's just one avenue they can go down. And there are several ones. And, yeah, I don't think that this is something they really plan to deal with or want to deal with in June because there is not very much downtime in that industry. But, you know, I guess it's got to be done.
Barrett, let me switch to the field because we are now in June, as you said, and fans are probably had their fill of all this administrative conversation. They want to know who's going to win and the things that really are what the sport is about. Let's get your thoughts on the SEC. We just had a guest on a minute ago who just blew right past Alabama with LSU, not only winning the West, winning the SEC, but winning the national championship. You've been high on LSU in the past. How do you see the races coming up here?
That's really aggressive. I mean, that is really aggressive. Look, I think if Georgia doesn't win the SEC East, it's because of Georgia. Like, the only team that can beat Georgia is Georgia. So, you know, I think if there's anything to sort of maybe throw a wrench in the works, it's, okay, what happens if a team that's pretty high up in terms of competition level upsets Georgia? They have a game and a half tiebreaker, essentially. Can they be consistent enough to get the job done and win the East? My answer is no. I don't think that'll happen. In the West, not going to blow by Alabama. I think Alabama is going to be really good. Got to get the quarterback situation fixed. They don't have a playmaker at wide receiver. They got to get that fixed. But it's Alabama. They can do that. They have in the past. But I would pick LSU to win the West right now. There's far more stability. They've got a Heisman Trophy caliber quarterback. They've got a good wide receiving core. You know, so I think in terms of stability, LSU should be the favorite. Do they have the upside as Alabama? No, of course not. I also wouldn't sleep on Arkansas. I had a feature with KJ Jefferson and Sam Pittman that went up yesterday. And, you know, looking at the way that team operates, great running game, KJ's been working very well with Dan Enos, who's their new offensive coordinator. If he can get that passing game going, that's a dangerous quarterback in a dangerous system. So, you know, I think I would be shocked if it wasn't either LSU or Alabama versus Georgia. But, you know, Arkansas is a team that might need to be looked at a little bit more, and people should pay a little bit more attention to, because I don't think they're getting the credit and maybe the buzz that they deserve.
So those are three in the West. We're not hearing a number of names, notably Texas A&M. Where are you on the Aggies?
I think that this is going to be a disaster for Texas A&M. The Petrino-Fisher marriage, I don't see it from a personality standpoint. It just seems impossible to work. I think offensively, they got to find a way to run the football. They've got decent quarterback, whether it's Johnson or Connor Wegman, but we haven't seen that. And more importantly, we haven't seen the staff's ability to evolve into the new school, new era of college football. And maybe Petrino can do that. Maybe he can't. I doubt it. So I just think with Texas A&M, I think a lot of us, myself included, are in I'll believe it when I see it mode. And right now there's nothing to suggest that any of us will believe it this year. But if that changes, great. But really the only successful season Jimbo's had was 2020, and it's almost impossible to take anything away from the 2020 season, either positively or negatively, just because of how quirky that was.
Barrett, finally on the other side, you mentioned Georgia. We get that. Is Tennessee firmly the school chasing after them, or is there someone else?
Yeah, I think South Carolina is going to be pretty darn good. I think South Carolina, now that they've got a connection, especially with Rattler, with what he did the last couple of games last year, that matters. I think the absence of Marcus Satterfield as their offensive coordinator is going to be huge. You know, Lowell Loggins is a really good coordinator, and he's not Marcus Satterfield. So that in and of itself is a positive. And I trust Spencer Rattler over Joe Milton right now. Spencer Rattler's done it. He's done it on a consistent basis. You know, whether it be at Oklahoma or South Carolina, he's consistently shown what his upside is. The problem is making sure that floor isn't as low as it has been at times. And I think the coordinator change will handle that. And, you know, sort of like what we said with Texas A&M, Joe Milton's had two chances to start at the college level. And it hasn't happened. And I think he has all the tools to be a really good player. But he needs to find a curveball. He needs to find a changeup. He can't throw everything 100 miles an hour and expect to get away with it. So, you know, if he changes that, and maybe he did, then Tennessee is going to be in that mix and potentially better than South Carolina. But I have more faith in Spencer Rattler than I do Joe Milton, and because of that, I think South Carolina's got a pretty good chance of being Georgia's primary threat, which is not necessarily a threat at all, but at least in that position.
Barrett Salee, always appreciate from CBS Sports. We appreciate him coming on. Your phone calls around the corner. We have had an amazing start here with Heather and Michael, and now Barrett, we'll talk to you in just a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We are back, and we appreciate you being here. Bubba,
yes, sir,
is up next in North Carolina. Bubba?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Bubba. Bye, Bubba. Bird, from Bubba to Bird, you are on the air.
How's it going today, Mr. Feinbaum?
Very well, thank you.
Hey, I wanted to get your opinion on the Tennessee and Alabama game coming up this year, and I wanted to add in just go damn balls.
Well, thank you. I would go with Alabama today, but it's early June. Thanks for the call. George is in Florida. You're on the air. Hello, George.
Hi, Paul. I guess I'm short time, first time, because you pulled me away from Mad Dog Russo, but
you're smart.
And I'm not even a huge SEC fan. But listen, a couple days ago, I'm pretty sure you had someone on, one of the coaches, and he said something that really struck me, like, why not leave at 8 games? And then go one game mandatory, Big Five conference. But even better than that, what about a Big Ten SEC challenge? Where, I mean, you talk about a TV jackpot. You know, you guys keep beating each other up all season, and you play an extra game. One of your other coaches on there said, well, that's just an extra loss for half our teams. Why not play the ACC, the Big Ten, the Pac-12? You know, those games are very interesting to fans like all of us that aren't just necessarily all SEC fans. And my wife's a little Louisiana girl, so I've been at Baton Rouge a few times, and I love the excitement. It's just phenomenal. But my point is, I think you could make it a better schedule without having to play each other one more time. What do you
I think it's a phenomenal idea. A year ago, I would have said no chance of it ever happening. I do know that the commissioner of the Big Ten, Tony Petitti, who's very new, has a very close relationship with Greg Sankey. The other two, the previous commissioner, did not have a relationship with anyone. And I think it's difficult for this reason. You're now talking about 32 schools and scheduling, and you would, the scheduling, as you probably know, these things are done 10 years in advance, maybe longer. So it couldn't be anytime soon, but I think it would be really great. You see that in basketball. You see the ACC Big Ten Challenge. You until this year, you've seen the SEC Big 12. But football is very complicated in terms of all the different nuances. Pat is up next. Hello, Pat.
Hello, Paul. Thanks. I won't bury the lead. Until ESPN ponies up the extra money, there's not going to be a ninth game in the SEC. It's just that simple. The other big item in the mix is going to the 12-team playoff. And we'll have 3 or 4 SEC teams in the playoffs every year, whether we play 8 or 9 games. And Texas and Oklahoma coming in 24, and we go to no divisions. Why on earth would we want to go to 9 games if there's no money in it? If there's no extra
money? Well,
I think
you're right. And here we are on a network that the two partners are the SEC and ESPN. And I think it comes down to finances. And nobody wants to say that, though. It's like,
I'll say it for you, Paul. And one more thing, I see another thing coming down the road. Georgia and Florida, we're going home and home because they're renovating the stadium. I don't think we're ever going back to Jacksonville after that. And, that's just my opinion. I don't have a crystal ball or anything, but I with 16 teams and with no divisions, and we will eventually go to 9 when somebody ponies up the money. And if our permanent, we're going to play home and home. We're not going to play in Jacksonville.
I hope that's the case, because I don't think the game should be in Jacksonville when that runs out. Thank you very, very much. Seth is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon to you. Hey, Seth.
So I just have to tell you something about Alabama. Nick Saban ain't scared of nobody, and LSU's not going to win at all.
Thank you very much, Seth. That's very enlightening. Wade is up next. Hey, Wade.
Hey, buddy. Look, I got a question and a comment. I know, how long is it when they do the schedule for the SEC?
Well,
as far as your team,
they usually do it somewhere between 9 months and a year out.
Okay, so everybody's complaining about Georgia's schedule this year being easy.
Right.
Would they be complaining about that if it was 2 years ago when they hadn't won a national championship?
Yeah, but Wade, the main reason people are complaining has nothing to do with the SEC schedule. It has everything to do with the non-conference schedule. And that has been explained ad nauseum about the game with Oklahoma. And I don't know what else needs to be said.
Well, I get that, but I mean, you know, it's just one of those things that is nothing that Georgia can control.
But in fairness to Georgia, they are playing Georgia. They play Georgia Tech every year. That is usually what most conference programs that have that rivalry game don't do anything else. Georgia does. Georgia played Oregon last year, Clemson the year before, Notre Dame couple years ago. I mean, Georgia doesn't have that. You're required to play the Power Five, and Georgia does. I realize it's hard to consider Georgia Tech a serious Power Five, but they are. And I'm glad we got into this, because I'm sick and tired of people trashing Georgia's non-conference schedule. It isn't Georgia's fault that Georgia Tech's football program is a joke. This is a program that used to be good, but they're not anymore. And Georgia is stuck with that. That's, South Carolina plays Clemson every year. Is there a reason for them to go out and play another Power Five? Well, they are this year. They're playing North Carolina, and Georgia did as well. But if you look at every SEC schedule, there's some pretty pretty flimsy non-conference schedules. You look at, remember what, who was it? Michigan a couple years ago. We talked about how bad their schedule was. It's no better this year. So this is East Carolina, UNLV, and Bowling Green. That is disgraceful. And it's not like they're playing Georgia and Alabama. They're playing Rutgers next, Nebraska and Minnesota, and then Indiana, and then Michigan State. I mean, they don't play a good team until November 21st. You don't hear anybody complaining about them. Oh, Michigan, man, what a great job Jim Harbaugh's doing. We'll take a short break. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We're back. Mitch is up next from Talladega. Hello, Mitch.
Hey, Paul. I was just wondering, did I hear you correctly in saying that you were tired of folks writing Georgia about their schedule?
That's what I said, yes.
Could I get a Go Dawgs, maybe?
Go Dawgs.
All right. Oh, and another lighter note, Mitch from South Carolina. You know, my name's Mitch, and we're pretty tough. But if we could divert some of that prayer to AC, I think we'll be doing some justice.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I never want to be someone who diminishes the power of prayer. But that might be the exception.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Paul.
Prayer and a miracle might be necessary for AC, but thank you anyway. I'll try Bubba one more time. Hey, Bubba.
Hey, Paul. How you doing this afternoon?
Bubba, we are doing great.
Having a great day. It's National Bubba Day today. I want to give a shout out to all the Bubbas of the world. When you get nicknamed Bubba, you just have to learn to own it.
So Bubba, how do you get, I guess I could ask pretty much one, just walk down the street in Georgia or North Carolina or Alabama and ask every third person this question, but how do you get the nickname Bubba?
Usually it comes from family or friends.
Okay.
And usually it comes at a very young age. And what I found out, the worse you hate it, the worse it sticks.
Okay.
So, like I said, you just have to learn to own it. But I wanted to talk a little bit about Commissioner Sankey. And, I really don't think he loses any sleep about what the pundits think about his decisions or, how they run this conference. And honestly,
but,
I think they made
think
the best
right.
decision.
I think somebody will call me or text me and go, hey, did you hear so-and-so took a shot at you? And I'm like going, that's great. If that guy's against me, I feel better about it. So, and I think that's how the commissioner feels. He knows what he's doing. We know what he has told us. We don't know everything else.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you too, Paul. Just reading between the lines what he said yesterday, I think that 2024 with the 8-game schedule will allow them to acclimate Oklahoma and Texas into the conference. It'll give them a little enlightenment on how the 12-game playoff is going to look. And I think that'll load them with more information moving forward to get to where they ultimately want to be, even if it is a 9-game conference
schedule. The only issue with that is this. I think they'll have to make a decision before the season starts about the next year. You can't in
I agree, but I also want to make one comment about these non-conference games.
Okay.
A lot of people want to throw off on this non-conference. Let me tell you something. You want to make fun of your team playing UT Martin or Chattanooga or Southern Miss. I want to tell you something. A lot of people don't understand this. A lot of your average people can't afford to go watch Georgia play Florida or Tennessee play Alabama. They can't afford those tickets. Those other games are considerably more affordable for young families with kids.
You're right.
A lot of people want to take their kid to a ball game, but they can't afford to spend $3,000 to take a kid to watch two SEC team plays.
Probably
I get
right.
that.
You're
I think a
right.
lot of people lose sight of that, you know. Don't alienate your lower end of your fan base.
Well, Bubba, I think I was speaking at an event down at the meetings, and I said I was introducing myself to some people that were from around the country, and I said I represent the fans, and I think too often they're your consumers, these are sponsors, but they are the people that make college football work. And I remember when I was a kid, we didn't have money, but maybe I went to one game a year or two games a year in football, and it wasn't a big game because we couldn't get the tickets for that game, but I didn't care. I went to the game.
Oh, absolutely, man. Do you think a small kid that is a Georgia fan cares who they're playing?
No.
No, it just changes their life to go to get to see the Georgia Bulldogs play, man. And I hope that we don't lose sight of that. They don't need to turn this into what NASCAR did to alienate their fan base. You know, price yourself out of business. college football is still for, I'm just telling you, the fans are different than the NFL fans.
I'm glad you said that
fans.
Because I covered NASCAR in the first couple of years of my career as a sports writer, and NASCAR was a big deal in the sense that people talked about it like we talk about college football. And I'm not talking about watching the race channel, but I don't hear anybody talk about NASCAR anymore.
No, they alienated their fan base, Paul. They tried to reach into a different market, and I think they could have done that without alienating their original fan base, but they evidently weren't smart enough to do that. I don't want to see college football
I'll tell you what they were.
Bubba,
they were too smart. They hired a bunch of New York media consultants, and they didn't realize that when you're appealing in North Carolina and South Carolina and Alabama and Arkansas and Mississippi, it's a different mindset. You just can't be too slick. And I think they ended up being too slick.
Yeah, they ended up being their own worst enemy. They have suffered ever since because of it.
No, you're not going back to it.
No, and I don't want to see college football go down that road.
Well,
I know the money.
I don't think it will. But the thing you said is a concern, though, and I thank you for your call. But it is getting very expensive, and I don't want to sound like the average guy is getting priced out of everything, but he is. It sounds like an Alan Jackson song from the '90s. But the little man is not considered very often in college football any longer. Trey is in Montgomery, Alabama. Hello, Trey.
Hey, Paul, what's going on?
Hey there, how are you?
I'm all right. I'm the thing I got is a question, it's been brought up about Nick Saban whining about his schedule and the draw that Alabama received from playing, Auburn, Tennessee, and
LSU.
Who else? LSU, yeah, but, Auburn played Georgia, Alabama, and LSU every year and never complained, never tried to get that removed. I mean, if Nick Saban and Alabama are so great, why is he whining about that schedule? I don't get it.
Well, I think the problem sometimes with deity is this, that they don't realize that people occasionally offer an opinion. And I think Nick Saban has gotten away for so long with saying whatever he wants without any check and balance that now he's mouthing a lot of things that really aren't well thought out. I think he has, the people around him do not help him in that regard. He's a brilliant guy. We all know everything there is to say, but his media guidance, I would say in the last year or two, has been very poor. Thanks for the call. We'll take a short break. We're back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And we're back. Kevin in the ATL. Good afternoon, Kevin.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Hey, Georgia fan here. Hey, real quick, I was just wanted to just comment, just in case it'll help your cause, not that you need it, but the Oklahoma game that was canceled was booked years and years and years ago. Going forward, the next few years, Georgia plays in 24 Clemson, 25, they play UCLA, and 26, they play UCLA and Louisville, and 27, they play FSU and Louisville, and 28, they play FSU, 29, they play Clemson, and 30, They have Clemson and Ohio State.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, and then Clemson and Clemson. So they've done what they have to do. I have a question about the cancellation of Oklahoma. I had heard something that it had to do potentially with Fox having the game, this year's game, and placing it at noon, and the SEC not liking that or something. Have you heard anything of that nature?
I have not. I think they could have figured it out, but it was probably convenient, and I don't know that, but yeah, the game would have been at noon. That's obvious. And I went to a 2:30 game in Norman about 20 years ago when Alabama played out there, and I'm not just saying this to make the argument. I've never been so hot in my life, and I've been pretty far south in the world, and it was like sunbathing on the equator. I mean, it was 115 degrees on the field, or 120 degrees on the field, and I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but I think the fact that the game could not be returned was really the issue. The next game in Athens was not until 2031.
But I don't think that would have mattered. Like, I mean, I get it that it was a home and
yeah,
home.
Yeah, you could have. I mean, you could have redone the contract and play a one off. Although that, I don't know why Georgia would have ever agreed to that. So I think it was just convenient. The SEC, I will dig into that. It's entirely possible. You're right, but I have not heard that one. But I'm also not disputing that.
Right. I mean, Georgia fans aren't happy about the schedule either. I mean, you know, it's not like we're happy about it. We admit our schedule's terrible.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a season ticket holder, and the best game is Ole Miss at home.
Yeah, that's not a great schedule.
You can't control what – you know, Florida's on having a down year. Auburn's rebuilding. Tennessee's are, you know, a good game, and that'll be a great game. But you can't, you know, South Carolina, we hope, will be a good game. That's a home game. But, you know, Vandy's down, obviously. Missouri's down. We can't control, you know, and these schedules are made years and years and years in advance.
True.
You know, if Florida was in, you know, it was back on top, you know, you'd look at the schedule and say, okay, you got Tennessee and you got Florida, and, you know, and Ole Miss is probably going to give us some fits, and South Carolina, it's not a bad schedule, and trust me, Kirby didn't want to give up that game.
No, and Kevin,
you can look it up online, all these games that they have lined up.
No, you're 100% correct.
I'm sure he was aggravated.
I agree. Hey, thank you very, very much. Excellent call. A lot of people are puzzled by Nick Saban. Why did he completely reverse himself? I think I just realized why. He discovered that he's playing LSU, Tennessee, and Auburn. Now, I don't know how they're going to reshuffle, but my guess would be, considering they're playing already Auburn, Tennessee, and LSU this year, they would just continue on, meaning this: at LSU, at Tennessee. Does that sound familiar from last year? Alabama also plays next year on the 14th of September. Does anyone know who their non-conference game is? It's Wisconsin. They have not been great lately, but with Luke Fickell, they will probably be pretty good next year. And the game is in Madison, which is an extraordinarily difficult game. So Saban may have looked ahead. Well, of course he looked ahead, and he felt I have at least three of my road games next year will be at Wisconsin, Tennessee, and LSU, and you know there's a good chance they're going to stick somebody else on there, Oklahoma or Texas. Can you imagine not throwing one of those games on Alabama's first schedule? So whatever you can agree or disagree with Bratton from earlier, but I think Wisconsin may have been a factor there, as well as probably playing at Tennessee and at LSU. Camp is up next. Good afternoon.
Mr. Paul.
Yes, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Good. You're sounding good. Feeling good. You're tasting good. Never mind.
Yeah, I hear you.
Mr. Feinbaum, Coach Feinbaum, just wanted to say I've been out of pocket all week. This week, I apologize.
Just wanted to hear what, actually, I think a couple of my questions were answered about the non-expanded schedule. But what does this mean for the other schools in the conference? I mean, Alabama's schedule is going to stay exactly the same, as you said, with LSU and Auburn and Tennessee. But where do we go from here? What?
Yeah, I think the next two weeks are going to be ripe with speculation, and I will also predict we'll start hearing leaks of the schedule. It's an opinion, nothing more. I'm a talk show host. That's all I am. I think they already know the schedule, and I think it will be extremely difficult to contain it. I think they could have announced the schedule yesterday for 24 had they chosen to. We are 2 hours in. What a show it's been. Steve Berkowitz a little bit later on. If you missed Michael Bratton earlier, you better check it out.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.